Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Dr. Lorraine Goodwin, and I hope you had a wonderful day today. I'm here in California Central Valley. Our weather is just gorgeous. We're not yet into the really high temperatures. We're not hitting the high 90s. We're not in triple digits. But we're told that triple digits, our first triple digit day, will be coming this coming Wednesday. So it'll be after Memorial Day, so everybody will be, have a great Memorial Day. And then we'll start advancing into the high, miserable temperatures that this Central Valley, which was a desert, can get into. And so we should expect that. When you move to a desert, you're going to expect high temperatures, and you're going to expect water shortages. You're going to expect, all those things. And so if you move to a place like this, you shouldn't be shocked. I'm always amazed at how many people think there should be an abundance of water in this area, which was known for being a desert. Doesn't make sense. But Americans always expect miracles. They always expect perfect conditions no matter where they are. And you just have to adapt to where you move to. You're in the desert. You're going to have dryness. You're going to have water shortages. You're going to have to learn to conserve water. You're going to have to learn how to collect water. You're going to have to learn how to not produce a lot of waste. And our farmers are going to have to learn how to not pollute our waters with chemicals and our foods with chemicals, and also learn how to get out of this Monsanto genetic monster food mess that we're in now, where they're creating all of these genetically modified foods, be it vegetables, or be it meat. They want to feed us meat from animals that are cloned because they don't want to have to buy more cattle. They want to be able to take one cow and get a lot of cells from her mouth and culture them and produce another animal and feed it to us. And, of course, they're going to mix that cloned meat with regular meat. They don't want to label it because they're afraid nobody's going to buy it. But we're adults. We have a choice. If we don't want to buy cloned meat, we should be given that opportunity. We should have it labeled. And I should be able to go into the store and say, I want this kind of meat or I want that kind of meat. And that's my choice. Why should somebody be able to mix the meat or not tell me what I'm getting? That's not fair. And it doesn't make any sense. And a lot of our foods also are going to foreign countries. Now, a lot of foreign countries won't take cloned meat. So that means that when they separate the cloned meat from the regular meat, the old-fashioned way that we're used to and have had for all of our centuries, that means more of the cloned meat is going to stay in the United States and more of the more what we would now call prime meat, because it isn't cloned, will go to foreign countries as they need more and more imports because they don't have the space to do the farming and ranching and so forth because they just don't have the space. The cities are too crowded. Countries like Japan and China and other places really have to import a lot of food because they have just overpopulation and really can't feed all the people that are there. So they need help. And people who have money, a lot of these countries are getting wealthier and wealthier people. They want better food, and a lot of them are looking to the United States, and that's right here in the Central Valley, to get a lot of their produce. Now, of course, we all support the farmers through our taxes. I don't care what state you live in. You're all paying into the federal government. The federal government allocates billions and billions of dollars to farmers for various things, and they even pay them not to farm, and then they do produce stuff, and then they want to sell it at prime prices abroad. So lots of problems with this farming cycle that we need to investigate, and it irritates me, but, the plea from the farmers is always, oh, we poor farmers, and most people think of a family or a farm, but that's not what we have now. We have what's called agribusiness. We have huge farms. They've been amassing land for long periods of time. These farms are worth millions and millions of dollars. They get very low rates on taxes because, of course, they're producing, you know, it's very expensive to run a farm, and they get a lot of benefits, government benefits for having a farm. And then, of course, in the very end, they get to sell the farm, and none of us get our taxes back from all the money we've poured into the farm to help them get the farm, maintain the farm, and grow their products and live the farming life, which is difficult. But if they have a big year, a big crop year, we also pay for that. They pay insurance, but we also pay for crop damage. So anyway, it's very interesting. It's a huge, huge subject, and I can't present it here because today I wanted to talk about Bill Cosby. I just finished watching 2020, and I decided I had to do an episode here on Blog Talk Radio about Bill Cosby. It is so draining to have to listen to this dialogue about Bill Cosby and these drugging and molestation and rapes and so forth of women, so many women. It's just mind-boggling, and it's just draining to have to listen to it. So tonight, 2020, today is, what is today's date? May 27th, and it's about 11:30 p.m. So, hello, 2020 had a special on Bill Cosby. Now, what really irritates me is when the media gets in and tries to rush the case. They want to be the very first to present the case. They want to be the first to get the jury verdict before it even goes to court. You know, they need to sit back, they need to keep quiet, and they need to let people go into court and present the evidence. But 2020 decided they would go and they would try to search through these 60 women and have them all present their stories tonight, one after another, on TV, and talk about and present it in a way as if all of the allegations are totally true that these people are saying. You know, whether they are or not, it's not for me to say. That should be tried in a court of law. And I think if we try to bypass that system, if we try to have trials in the media, then our court systems are going to fail because nobody wants to be tried in the media. And it depends on who you are. The a person who is doing 2020 tonight is a woman, and I know she has a history of marital problems, and I think she divorced her husband, and she had a history of long-term alcoholism and went to a long rehab period. And so she has a lot of problems herself. She has mental problems and home problems and physical problems and everything. She's a mess herself. So we don't know where she's coming from or why in the world they decided to present it. But, you know, ever since O.J. Simpson, it caught media attention, and everybody wants to be the first now to have the trial without the judge, without the jury, without the formality that comes from the question and answering that goes on in a courtroom and all of that stuff. And that really upsets me. I hate to see our legal system go down to that, and I hate to see the media assume that role, that they can be judge and jury, and rush it in one night, you know, one hour. They get the whole thing out in their way, and they kind of come out with conclusions. And you can tell they led you down the path, and you have the conclusion that they wanted you to get, that he did everything, and everything these women say is true. Now, if you tell a story enough, you know, you're going to have people who do tell the truth, and you're going to have people who come in because they want notoriety. All these people who are speaking out against Bill Cosby are people who wanted to be famous. They wanted to be on TV. They wanted to be in a show. They wanted his connections to help them get to where they were aspiring to get to, but couldn't get to on their own talent. So they were very, very dependent on somebody who was going to get them up on another path. Now, I'm not from Hollywood. I've never gone through Hollywood because I know Hollywood ever since I was a kid. You know, I've heard about the Hollywood casting couch. I just can't imagine these women haven't heard about the Hollywood casting couch. It's real. I think I tried out once. I can't remember what it was, but they were auditioning people for a part in a movie or something. And the people who were having you do a reading were these young guys. They were black. And I imagine it was some minority program that they were trying to get these guys started. And so they had them do this open audition. I happened upon it, and I said, well, you know, hey, I can do a reading. So you go there. They give you a little thing to memorize. I did that. I read it. And then they keep the camera on you the whole time, and they're asking you personal questions after you do the reading. You know, and then they ask you, and they invite you to a party, and they do this other stuff. And they're recording your reaction to everything that they're saying to you. You know, I didn't go there for a party. I didn't want to party with these guys. And so I tried to act friendly and so forth, but I had no intention of going to their party. And so this is common knowledge. We all know that this stuff might happen. I wasn't really prepared for it, or I would have had a better expressions on my face when this guy started into this line of conversation and inviting me to this stuff and so forth. But I'm sure that with the recording, I was looking like, hey, no way am I coming to your party, and I have no interest in it. I just came here to do a reading. That was definitely the look on my face. And I left, and I knew I wasn't going to get the part because I could tell that the whole thing had gone sideways into more of a social thing than staying on track to being a reading for a part in this play. This was the casting couch I had heard of a long, long time ago. And through my life, you meet guys all the time in various parts of your life who are trying to take advantage of you. I remember when I first went off to college, and I would go to these frat parties, and they had this spiked punch. Well, I never knew anything about spiked punch. I never had any alcohol before I went to college. And then they would give you spiked punch. You couldn't taste it. They had something in there called grain alcohol. You couldn't taste it. It was, I'm told, terrible for your body, but no one cared. They were just trying to get you drunk to take advantage of you. Most of the guys, I was very lucky, were as naive as I was, and they didn't know they were supposed to be taking advantage of the girls. So after that kind of made me very tired and sleepy, I got up, went home, and now forewarned that these parties did have this, I knew to protect myself when I went to the party, and I knew that that stuff in the punch wasn't stuff I really wanted to put in my body, and I didn't want to be lose control of myself in any of these events. In other words, I wanted to go have fun, but I didn't want to end up, you know, dead to the world on a couch or in a chair or something. So, but this is common sense. This is common knowledge. And I could go on and on about various phases of your life when you meet these guys. A lot of guys have the desire just to have sex. They don't want a relationship. They just want to meet you, have sex, and go on to the next person. And we all know that. As females, we know that. And we know that we have to protect our bodies. And if we don't protect our bodies, we will be taken advantage of. That's just common knowledge to me. It's something you learn after, if you haven't learned it in high school, and you do get some of those indications, some people more so than others in high school, but you definitely get it after high school, and then you get it throughout the rest of your life in various ways. And each time you're more and more educated about it, and it's reinforced as to what kinds of things you have to be careful of. You know, drinking and driving, drinking too much anywhere. Don't take pills that people give you. You don't know what's in there. If they're not a doctor or you don't see the label of the pill and have some knowledge of what the pill is, don't take it. Don't take Benadryl. Who in the world wants to take Benadryl? Benadryl puts you to sleep. If I were out having a dinner party or I were out having a conversation with somebody, why in the world would I take Benadryl? Because I won't be able to talk with them. I'll be looking for a place to go to sleep. That's common knowledge. That is common knowledge. I'm sorry, these women who are saying, well, I'll go through what the kinds of stories they were saying. It just irks me so much because they put all the blame on Bill Cosby, but it was also their desire to do anything to move their careers forward that put them in their positions in the first place. The next thing I want to say is if you have morals, and I don't want to say anything about these women, but if you know somebody's married and you know they're married because they're famous, so everybody knew Bill Cosby was married to Camille, and whether he liked Camille, whether the marriage is going great or badly, if you put yourself out in that position as the other woman in a marriage, you've already crossed the line. If you're out having intimate dinners, if you're out meeting him in, you know, various places, just the two of you, and we know when a man is asking you out and there's only two of you, he's looking for sex. He's not interested. He doesn't care whether or not you get the part in All My Children. This is common knowledge. I'm sorry. And it really irks me that these people think, he was my mentor. He was so interested in seeing me get the part in the movie. Why would a person be so interested in seeing you get a part in the movie, call you up continually, have you do reading for him, and then when you do a reading, he's not thrilled with your reading and thinks you have no talent? That's a hint. If you don't have talent, and he's meeting you in unusual situations, he's looking for sex. I mean, you just want to shake these women by the shoulders and say, wake up now, you're 60, you're 70 years old, you're still sounding like you're the 12-year-old farm girl. I know these women have done a lot of stuff. Some of them have been Playboy bunnies. They've been done all kinds of things. They've been through all kinds of situations. I'm sure many times they've been drunk and taken advantage of because of their jobs, because of the types of lifestyles they led. But to come in and play like you didn't realize at all what was going on just really irks me because it's so, so weak of lying. Now, the other thing that irks me for any woman who taken advantage of or is raped. And listen up, ladies. If you're taken advantage of or you are raped, it is your duty to tell people. And this whole thing of who's going to believe me, he's Bill Cosby, change that he's from Bill Cosby to he's a black man who's an actor. You know, everybody's going to believe you. I'm a blonde woman. He's a black man who's an actor. Who's going to believe that he tried to rape me? Everybody. Everybody's going to believe you. And why in the world don't you tell somebody? And each time these women did not tell somebody, they set the whole situation up for Bill Cosby, if he did it, to do it again. so that the person who said she was raped is just as guilty to the next person who's raped because nobody was telling what was going on. And this whole innocence thing, I don't buy it at all. Even back in the 60s, the 70s, especially in the 60s and 70s, if you said you went out with somebody and you were a blonde-haired white woman and he was a black male, everybody's going to believe that he was trying to hit on you and that he was doing who knows what. So this whole innocence thing, I don't buy for a second. Something else was going on. And when you talk, when the women talked, this one woman, she gets raped. She comes back, she meets him again. Well, they all did, basically. They said it's for their careers, but, you know, what's really going on here? So does a woman who's really upset that she's been raped come back and date the man that raped her? I don't think so. One woman said she was raped. She was horribly mortified, according to her. But then he offered her tickets to come to the Cosby Show. To come see him do a stand-up comedy. And so she took the tickets, and there she was, big-eyed and mesmerized and so thrilled to be there to look at him do his stand-up comedy act. Does a woman who was raped even once, where she was actually had her underpants off, where he actually had his penis out, where there was touching that really, really grossed her out, and she was mortified, where it's going to stay with her for 40, 50 years. Does she want to go see the Cosby stand-up comedy act? I don't think so. And if she does, something's wrong with that picture. I, in my own mind, I can't accept it. I can't accept it. I wouldn't want to see him anywhere. I would be hiding from him. I mean, if I tried to accept all she was saying and I got raped and I didn't want to tell anybody for 40 years, and I started getting tickets to come see the show or come to his house, or go out to dinner again, or to meeting to run lines, or anything like that, I would not have an iota of interest. Because if he's interested in you sexually once, he's interested in you sexually each time, and according to these women, he never gave any indication that there was anything that he was interested in but sex. What the women kept complaining about is that they had sex. They said they weren't happy with it, but they continued to date him. I think maybe they were wanting to him to leave Camille and maybe make them an offer. And they would talk about the limousines they were getting into and all this stuff. To me, if I were raped and I were mortified by the person who raped me and they were doing something that I did not want, and I thought they were drugging me, I wouldn't want to be in his limousine. I wouldn't want to be in his apartment. I wouldn't want to be in his condo. I wouldn't want to see his stand-up comedy act. I wouldn't want to go to his TV show and watch him walking across the stage back and forth, running lines. None of that would interest me because I would know him for a different person. And I would tell somebody, I can't get past that for 40 or 50 years, these women didn't tell anybody. You know, it doesn't make any sense. I think there was more to it, to these stories, than we actually see. I think shows like 2020 is bringing this out and taking a one-sided, hard-hitting view that these women are totally pure, innocent, non-contributory to the situation, didn't lead. Now, one of these people is Janice Dickinson. Well, we all know, if you follow Janice Dickinson on her TV travels, she's a pretty loose woman, and she's pretty hard-hitting. And she's in that modeling career, and as she was fighting her way up. I mean, she was always talking about herself as a muse and all that stuff. Also, regular people, that means absolutely nothing. I was, you know, so-and-so's muse. To us, it means nothing, but to her, it's like heaven. So her mind's already in a different place. And then she said, you know, and then she, you know, she's had a lot of plastic surgery. She's had fillers. I think she's had her breast done. She's anorexic. And so she has a lot of mental problems and a lot of ego problems and a lot of insecurities about herself and about her career, about her future. She was always trying to nab a husband. And when Bill Cosby asked her up to his room and gave her some pills. Now, could I accept pills from a person? I'm in his room alone. I don't care how much I like him, but I want his pills. Am I out? Am I walking out dating somebody and I'm sick? Did I need pills? Something else is wrong here. Something else is wrong here. And then they act, you know, like this is the first time it ever happened. But I'm sorry, I don't think people really go out to have a social event to take pills, be it Benadryl, be it a questionable pill, be it whatever he told you the pill was. I don't believe it. I think they were acting in concert. Things got out of hand. I'm sure there's probably a lot of anger. But both sides were looking for a benefit. Bill Cosby was the same old looking for sex that every man has when he takes a woman out. Janice Dickinson was looking for a man who had power and money. For what reason, I don't know. Now, the Quaalude era was very common. I missed the Quaalude era because I was in medical school, and I was working very hard, and I wasn't out socializing. I was busy from sun up to sun down, and I really didn't go out for a lot of socializing. But after I finished medical school and I discussed with a lot of doctors and other professionals around town, they, long before this Bill Cosby revelation, they would reminisce about the Quaalude era before Quaaludes became illegal, about how much fun they used to have with Quaaludes. And they were doing what Bill Cosby did. I mean, what this Bill Cosby case does is it encourages young boys to find pills that can knock girls out during a date. They can't have a memory, and they can have their sex sexually. They can do almost anything they want with them. And it publicizes that. It gives them directions how to do that. And a lot of our young kids are picking this up. And these programs are really boosting the continuance of this sort of behavior. But a lot of professionals went through the Quaalude era, which I missed. And so even though they say it against Bill Cosby, it was at some period of time very, very common for people to do, and the people doing it were not druggies on the corner. They were professional people. They were actors. They were doctors. They were lawyers. They were accountants. They were teachers. Everything. Okay, well, my time's up. I have to go. I want to talk about this some more because it just really irritates me, this whole Bill Cosby hype. But right now I have to wish you a good evening and take care, and come back and talk to me again. Bye-bye.